call the Health and Social Services Committee to order at 5:40 p.m. Thursday, April 11th, 2024. We're meeting today in Davis Room 106 of the Capitol Building. Please silence your cell phones out of courtesy to others who are attending. And with us today, we have Representative Ruffridge, Representative Sumner, Representative Fields, and myself, Chair Protz. We have a quorum to do business. I want to introduce my committee aide, Riley Nye. Please pass any correspondence with the committee through Mr. Nye. And we have Representative Sadler joining us. And I also want to thank our House Records Recorder, Cheryl Cole, and Zachary Lawhorn, our teleconference moderator. Today we have the initial hearing of Senate Bill 24, Public Schools, Mental Health Education, sponsored by Senator Gray Jackson, and we'll hear invited and public testimony. So, and Representative Mina joined us at 5:41. Senator Gray Jackson, would you and Ms. Odom please come forward and state your name for the record, and if you would give us an introduction for Senate Bill 24.
Good evening, Senator Gray Jackson, representing District G in Anchorage. First, I want to thank you, Mr. Chairman, and the committee for hearing this bill. It's such an honor to have my bill heard, especially after you've had such a very long day on the House floor. Senate Bill 24 is basically being resurrected. This bill has been out there since probably before 2019 when I first came to the Senate. Former Representative Matt Clayman had House Bill 60 and I had Senate Bill 80. And the bill almost made it to the finish line a few years ago. And I'm hopeful that this year it will make it to the finish line because, as you know, we had many folks from different school districts, teachers, superintendents, and kids who were here testifying on the BSA, but they were also testifying hoping that we would be able to pass this bill, much-needed bill, this session. With that said, Mr. Chairman and committee members, CSSB 24 amends the existing health education curriculum statute to include mental health in all K through 12 health classrooms to adequately educate students on vital information pertaining to mental health symptoms, resources, and treatment. The Alaska State Board of Education and Early Development and the Alaska Department of Education and Early Development, DEED, will develop guidelines for instruction in mental health in consultation with numerous stakeholders. Such organizations include, but are not limited to, the National Council for Behavioral Health, Providence Health and Services Alaska, South Central Foundation, Anchorage Community Health, Mental Health Services, Inc., North Star Behavioral Health System, and the National Alliance on Mental Health Illness in Alaska. The standards will be developed in consultation with counselors, educators, students, administrators, and other mental health organizations to form effective guidelines for school boards, teachers, and students. After standards have been developed, the Alaska State Board of Education and Early Development and DEED will be responsible for implementation through the Alaska school system. As with existing health education curriculum, the DEED, the Department of Health, and the Council on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault will provide technical assistance to school districts in the development of personal safety curricula. An existing school health education specialist position will assist in coordinating the program statewide. CSSB 24 aims to decrease the stigma surrounding mental illnesses and increase students' knowledge of mental health, encouraging conversation around the understanding of this issue. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Please proceed.
All right. Good evening, committee members. For the record, Bessie Odom, staff to Senator Gray Jackson. I'm going to proceed in reading the sectional analysis for CSSB 24. Section 1 of this bill, the uncodified law of the state of Alaska, is amended by adding a new section to read legislative intent. This section specifies what entities will develop guidelines for instruction in mental health. Section 2 amends AS 1403016A, which is the statute that relates to a parent's right to direct the education of their child, by adding a new subsection that would allow parents to be notified at least 2 weeks before any class or program regarding mental health. Section 3 amends AS 1430360A, which addresses health education curriculum and physical activity guidelines, by removing the word physical when referencing instruction for health education and adding mental health and physical health to the list of curriculum items each district includes in their health education programs. Proceeding on to Section 4 here, it amends AS 1430360B, which addresses health education curriculum and physical activity guidelines. The section clarifies that developmentally appropriate instruction in mental health be developed by the State Board in consult with the Department of Health, Department of Family and Community Services, and other entities. The section also lists the Department of Family and Community Services as one of many entities that shall provide technical assistance to school districts in the development of personal safety curricula upon request. Section 5, the uncodified law of the state of Alaska, is amended by adding a new section to read report to the legislature. This section clarifies that a report must be given to the Senate Secretary and Chief Clerk of the House of Representatives. This report must include a copy of developmentally appropriate instruction and mental health developed by the State Board of Education and Early Development, and describe the process used to develop such guidelines. Section 6, the uncodified law of the state of Alaska, is amended by adding a new section to read transition. This section requires that the State Board of Education and Early Development shall develop the mental health guidelines within 2 years after the effective date of this act. The last section, Section 7, sets an effective date of July 1st, 2024, if this bill is enacted.
Okay, do we have any questions for the bill sponsor? Pardon? Okay, so we do not have invited testimony, is that correct?
That is correct, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, very good. So I'm going to open public testimony at this time. Is there anyone in the room that wishes to testify on Senate Bill 24, Public Schools, Mental Health Education? Yes, Senate Bill 24, Public Schools, Mental Health Education. Seeing no one in the room coming forward, I have a Stephen Pierce online. Mr. Pierce, are you still with us?
Yes, I am here.
Okay, please identify yourself for the record and proceed with your testimony. You'll have 3 minutes.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair and committee members. My name is Stephen Pierce. I am the Director of the Citizens Commission on Human Rights, covering Alaska, Montana, and Washington. We have big concerns on SB 24. We feel this bill should be amended in order to provide critical information to youth and parents on creating meaningful mental health. Parents must be provided meaningful, informed consent about the current mental health system's over-reliance on psychotropic drugs and waiting for children to face emotional crises before acting. Schools should not be conduits or referral centers pushing exclusively psychiatric options on parents and youth. We must compare physical health being taught in schools to the message of mental health being taught in schools. So comparing physical health to mental health. There is a healthcare and physical exercise business interest to be sure, but these do not have laws passed by the legislature that force children to eat their vegetables or walk 2 miles a day. However, we do have laws passed by the legislature that can require all students to be asked invasive questions of behavior that may show risk, laws that say certain people can evaluate kids and say they are mentally ill without any physical or medical tests to show objectively prove this. And we also have laws that can force children to take psychiatric drugs, and even laws that force youth into an inpatient setting to take mind-altering drugs, all without any objective medical test to show anything is wrong with their brain. Now, previous testimony was very much pro-treatment, getting people into treatment, making them aware of treatment, and it's very much through a psychiatric lens and not through creating health lens. We think the education should be mandated by the legislature to be much broader, to include naturopaths, to include alternative practitioners who will look and do a physical examination and address and rule out organic and actual medical issues, nutritional issues, allergies, reactions to toxic metals, life situations, all these things that are known to cause an emotional situation that can mimic a psychiatric disorder. Before we place anybody on a psychotropic drug, I don't think it's too much to ask that we actually address the physical nature and the known causes that can be treated and eliminated. And I think that's what helps deliver or create a stigma with mental health treatment, is it's so blind to actual real world and real issues that need to be addressed and that aren't solved by a quick label and giving them a diagnosis that results in a mind-altering psychiatric drug treatment that can go on for a long time, if not for a lifetime. So we're very concerned about that aspect. This has been known about. Thomas Insull, who is the head of the National Institute of Mental Health for the United States, noted how while we studied the risk factors for suicide, the death rate has climbed 33%. So he's basically pointing out what we're doing isn't working. So all this bill is going to say, if opponents have their way, let's do more of the same. And we already know that isn't working. So Okay. We need to stop.
Mr. Pierce?
Yeah.
Your 3 minutes are up. Could you wrap up, please?
Yeah, and we provided a list of amendments, starting with attachment one. A couple of them are in the testimony. And what I give in my testimony is are things that you will not be hearing from psychiatry or from the mental health advocates, that parents are vital information for parents. And we urge that be adopted or this bill be rethought. And the legislature must take control of this and not just leave it up to whim. So we urge your further review of this issue. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And did you say you have submitted your testimony to the committee?
Yes, they're attachment number one. They're a couple, or one of them is a couple of written text of my main testimony, but attachment number one lists a number of amendments that could be done and a handout that could be provided for informed consent to the parents.
Okay, thank you. Do we have any questions for Mr. Pierce?
I do.
Representative Sadler.
Thank you. Through the chair, Mr. Pierce, I'm just curious, you sound like you're fairly knowledgeable about this. Have you any information or experience with similar curricula that have been implemented in other states of our union?
What about other education? I mean, the education, like from Washington and Montana, it's very much just what mental health would expect it to be. It's about the known labels, and it's about what they constitute. And, if you look at a NAMI website, for example, you will see what they recommend. And it's typically mental illness, it's chemical imbalance, which has recently been called into very high question, and these are the drug treatments, and this is what you should know about, and this type of thing. Well, that doesn't meet up with the invalidation of the chemical imbalance theory. It doesn't meet up with drug tests and drug studies that show that drugs have very low efficacy compared to what they're promoted as. And there's a lot more information about drug withdrawal that isn't taught by doctors, for example. So maybe 2 points.
Thank you. Follow-up, Representative Sadler.
Thank you, through the chair, Mr. Pierce. So I want to make sure I understood what you're saying. So you're saying there are similar curricula in use in Washington and Montana, and those tend to use a chemical imbalance model. Is that what I hear you saying?
Well, the current state of or current form of mental health education is simply indoctrination to what the psychiatrists want you to know. Informed consent simply consists of, well, there aren't any alternatives, and, you should just take your drugs and get your label and move along. They don't admit that there's any more or any alternatives, really. AlternativeMentalHealth.com lists a lot of alternatives. There's a doctor who lists 26 different medical causes of schizophrenia, for example. So there are alternatives that are not being used. I'm just urging Alaska, before you dive into this, to take a look at, you know, making it a broader solution for your citizens and students.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions for Mr. Pierce?
Mr. Chairman, would it be appropriate if I ask Mr. Pierce a question? Can I be allowed to?
Absolutely.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Mr. Pierce, thank you so much for your testimony. And I just want to say that we can always count on you to testify at every hearing. So thank you for that. But my question is, your organization, Citizens Commission on Human Rights, how many members are in your organization?
I don't know. Locally, I have, you know, dozens. I have a handful of people in Alaska. I have a handful in Montana, but we're a national and actually an international organization.
May I follow up?
We are a psychiatric watchdog, so we study mental health. We're familiar with what they promote and what they do.
Thank you, Mr. Pierce. Where is your organization based?
Well, LA is our USA and international headquarters.
Again, thank you for your testimony.
Seattle.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, thank you. Representative Sadler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I want to make sure I understand who Mr. Pierce is speaking on behalf of. I thought I had heard State Board of Education. So for the record, Mr. Pierce, could you please state your organization and your position and where you're located now?
Citizens Commission on Human Rights of Seattle is based in Seattle, and our region is Alaska, Montana, and Washington, and has been since like 1987 when we were incorporated.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Chairman, may I follow up, please?
Representative Gray Jackson, or Representative, I wouldn't want to demote you to that. Senator Gray Jackson.
Thank you. Mr. Pierce, again, thank you for your testimony. But are there any health professionals in your organization, mental health professionals?
We have a board of directors that advise CCHR, and you'll find them referenced in their materials, their quotes. We were founded by psychiatrist Thomas Love and the Church of Scientology. It's not just opinion. These are experts across the world who make their opinions known and critical of psychiatry and offering alternatives and pointing out that the success and recovery rates from psychiatry and traditional treatments are far less than what they want you to believe. And many of their studies have been called into question simply because they misrepresent the results. We can go into the STAR-D study, which was misrepresented, which is the largest study of antipsychotics to date, and showed that the vast majority of people quit taking the drugs due to side effects and intolerable effects from the drugs themselves.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Pierce. And thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mm-hmm. Representative Sumner.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, I guess I had a question for the majority leader. Did he say that the gentleman testifying is on the State Board of Education?
No. Representative Sumner. I mean, Representative Sadler.
Through the chair, Representative Sumner. No, I'm afraid that's what I had heard. So that's why I asked a clarification. So my understanding is he is not associated with the State Board of Education, but with the Citizens Commission on Human Rights in Seattle.
Okay. Any other questions for Mr. Pierce? Yes. Okay, thank you. Next, we have Nan Voorhees from Anchorage. Ms. Voorhees?
Yes. Good evening. Can you hear me?
We can hear you. Please identify yourself for the record and proceed with your testimony. You have 3 minutes.
My name is Nan Voorhees. I am calling from Anchorage, Alaska, and I am a graduate student enrolled in the University of Alaska Anchorage's Master of Social Work program. I'm a second year student. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for allowing me to testify. I speak today in avid support of Senate Bill 24. As you know, it updates the existing statute to include mental health education in the health education curriculum for grades K through 12. And it will require the State Board of Education, along with its stakeholder group, to develop age-appropriate mental health education course materials. I trust the Board of Education and their committee that are tasked with developing these guidelines, that they're going to do their job well. I know they'll demonstrate cultural competency, and I know that the guidelines will be cognizant of differences across our states, districts, and their school needs. So going on, poor mental health, it is one of the biggest inhibitors to learning and growing amongst children and teenagers. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention estimates that 1 in 6 children between the ages of 2 and 8 have some sort of mental health condition. Studies have shown that 50% of all lifetime mental conditions begin by age 14. Far too many young people struggle with their mental health and are unable to get the support they need. Up to 70% of children do not receive the help that they need as they're growing up. Alaska is not immune to this mental health crisis that our nation is grappling with. Alaska has the highest rate of teenage suicide in the country. The Honorable U.S. Senator Dan Sullivan invited the U.S. Surgeon General up here last summer to participate in a roundtable with mental health professionals and youth from across Alaska to discuss this crisis. I realize that solving the problem of Americans' youth declining mental health is going to take more than schools, but schools are in a position to be a big part of the solution. 16 U.S. states, 16, currently require some form of mandated mental health education in their K-12 classes. And another 20 have some not required, but variation of that. And numerous states have legislation they're considering right now similar to SB 24. So while it's uncharted territory for us, we can look to the other 20 states that have been there, from Arkansas, California, Colorado, Connecticut, Illinois, Florida, Hawaii, Kentucky, Maine, Missouri, New Jersey, New York, Nevada, Oklahoma, Virginia, and Vermont. Those are the 20 that have some form of mandated mental health education. My second grader came home from school recently and he asked, "Mom, what's suicide?" So kids at school are talking and they share information, for better or worse, it's a tale as old as time. These topics and these conversations are important, and it's important they happen in a healthy way. Let us be smart and adopt effective, age-appropriate models and procedures. I'm so grateful to Senator Gray Jackson and her staff and her co-sponsors for understanding that mental health education needs to be a priority in our schools. They recognize that all students deserve equitable access to mental health resources, and I encourage you all to follow their lead and be the advocate that our young people need and deserve. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Do we have any questions for Ms. Voorhees? Representative Sadler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Through the chair, Ms. Voorhees, your second grader who came back and home and asked, "What is suicide?" When you spoke with him or her about this, where was that? How did he or she first hear the word suicide in second grade?
On the playground. He overheard kids talking about it. He heard the word. He actually, I said, just once or what? And no, apparently kids hear it and they throw it around. So.
Okay. Yeah. Follow up.
Off Representative Sadler.
Thank you, Chair. Ms. Voorhees, you cited a figure. You said 70% of students, I think you said, don't receive the help they need. I'm not quite, what do you mean help they need? Are 70% of students mentally ill or need mental health education? Oh, what's that statistic you cited?
70 of the students, of the youth with a mental health disorder that are struggling with mental health, 70% of those young people do not receive the support they need. They have an unmet mental health need. So,
and if I could follow,
Representative Sadler,
if you're saying that 70% of students with a mental health disorder do not get the help they need, what percentage of youth have mental health disorders, in your estimation?
Let me go back into my notes here. There's a million statistics. Many studies have been done, but 1 in 6 children between the ages of 2 and 8 have some sort of mental health condition.
How many?
And 50% of all lifetime mental health conditions begin by age 14. And so this would be a proactive way to intervene early.
I'm sorry, may I follow up?
Representative Sadler.
I'm sorry, ma'am, you said something about between ages 2 and 8 have what was that again, please? 2 to 8 what?
Some sort of mental health condition.
And what percentage, please?
Whatever 1 in 6 is.
I didn't hear you say 1 in 6. Thank you. Okay.
Okay. Thank you. Representative Fields?
Oh, no question.
You're good. Any other questions for Ms. Voorhees? Okay. Thank you, Ms. Voorhees. Next, we have Ann Ringstad, the Executive Director of NAMI Alaska. Ms. Ringstad, are you with us?
Yes, I am, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Please identify yourself and your affiliation for the record and proceed with your testimony. You have 3 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, my name is Ann Ringstad, Executive Director for NAMI Alaska, the Alaska Organization of the National Alliance on Mental Illness. Thank you for this invitation to speak about our support of SB 24. This bill has been a long time in the making, and we believe it contains the elements necessary to get across the finish line at last. Mental health affects every aspect of our lives and is an essential part of our overall health. You just heard the statistics from the previous speaker, and I would verify those. Mental health challenges can interfere in a student's ability to learn, grow, and develop, and very often it may be a teacher, counselor, or school staff that work with their students every day who recognize the student is struggling, sometimes even before a parent is aware or will recognize it. Knowing how to talk about mental health in an age-appropriate level with students is so important. Strengthening the guidelines for Alaska Public Schools to utilize in consultation with stakeholders, including parents, teachers, and school administrators, will help to guide our youth throughout their formative years. We know that education, early recognition, and intervention, as well as working on prevention, are keys to minimizing mental health issues that are common in our youth and adolescents. It's important to talk openly about it, about mental health. Mental health and physical health go hand in hand. What's really important here is to open the discussions about mental health so students are not afraid to come forward if they're struggling. It's also important for schools to have the necessary statewide guidelines available to recognize and address the growing number of mental health challenges in our schools. By establishing mental health education guidelines at a statewide level for schools to utilize, this legislation aims to decrease the stigma surrounding mental illness and increase students' knowledge of mental health, encouraging conversation around and understanding of that issue. If we can do that, we increase the odds that mental health issues can be addressed early on, thus leading to the improved outcomes generated by early interventions. We stand ready to assist in the statewide effort to end the stigma of mental illness by working with the stakeholders over the next 2 years to create developmentally appropriate mental health guidelines for public schools to help support our youth in their formative years. In summary, in these challenging times, it's now more important than ever to take action to address the subject of mental health and provide guidance and hope to all those impacted by mental health challenges. Let's give schools the tools they need to help their students to deal with mental health challenges. Thank you for your consideration of the importance of this legislation.
Okay, thank you. Do we have questions for Ms. Ringstad? Okay. I do. Ms. Ringstad, this is Chair Prox. Do you have, I maybe should have asked the previous testifier, but do you have sample curriculums that you know of that are in place in other states?
I think that the Board of Education and Department of Education have that. We're not talking about curriculums here. We're talking about guidelines.
Sorry.
To help drive the curriculums, but we would not be developing curriculums. That would be up to the school board, the deed, and the schools themselves. I do know from talking with some principals when we went into schools to share information about mental health illness, they said they needed some sort of guidance, and they didn't have it. They didn't know how to deal with the students that were coming to them or not when they recognized that a student was struggling, and they thought that guidelines would be very helpful.
Okay, thank you. And you say that you think DEED should have some guidelines?
I would throw a lifeline to them. I'm sure they do. I know that the guidelines have not been changed in over 20 years in this state.
Okay.
So it's a place to start.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions for Ms. Springstead? Thank you for your testimony, and do we have anyone else online or in the room that wants to testify on Senate Bill 24? Okay, seeing none, public testimony is closed. So, we did collect some information. You did have other testifiers notified. Would you like us to give them opportunity, or we can do that in the bill heads to Education Committee next. So would you rather just we can wait or we can move it on.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If you're talking about moving the bill out today, that would be my preference. As a matter of fact, Ms. Ringstad, she was one of the invited testimony.
Oh, okay.
So thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Very good. Thank you. Representative Sadler.
Thank you. Through the chair to the sponsor. So we understand the terminology you're speaking of. Senator, what is mental health education? How would I understand that term? What does it include? What does it not include?
Thank you. Through the chair, Representative Sadler, I'm going to refer to my staff, Bessie Odom, to attempt to answer that question.
Through the chair, for the record, this is Bessie Odom. If you give me a minute to look through my large mound of paperwork here, I can get you that answer.
Okay, we'll take a brief at ease. Back on record.
For the record, Bessie Odom, staff to Senator Gray Jackson. We will get that answer to you as soon as possible.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions? Representative Sadler.
Thank you. Through the chair, Senator Gray Jackson, we are proposing to expand the requirement for health and personal safety programs to include developmentally appropriate guidelines for mental health education. So what's the baseline? How many hours a week do students in elementary or middle or high school receive in any kind of health education? I think it's right now it's health and personal safety, and we're purporting to add mental health. So how much time do we have to work with here?
Thank you, through the chair, Representative Sadler. If our invited testimony is still on the line, I think she would be able to better answer that question than I.
That would be Ms. Ringstad. Did you hear the question?
Mr. Chair, yes, I heard the question. Anecdotally, I can tell you that I just talked with a counselor that worked at one of the local high schools in Anchorage, and she told me that their health education is a half a quarter a year. So it's very limited. But I would say it also would depend on the school district as well, because each school district has their own guidelines. And that's shown in a report that was done by, sponsored by the trust 2 years ago. And most of them do have guidelines in place. They're all just varying depending on the students there and the resources that they have or don't have.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Fields.
Through the chair, I could just give Representative Sadler an anecdote. You know, my daughter's in kindergarten. She has health class, I think, once a week. Obviously, mental health wouldn't be the only subject. So it's actually fairly small time commitment, as I understand, envisioned in this bill.
Thank you. Any other questions? Representative Sadler.
Let's see. Also through the chair to the sponsor, Senator Gray Jackson. The bill says that I think it's that this would require guidelines to be developed by the state board in consultation with the Department of Health, DFCS, regional tribal health organizations, and representative national state mental health organizations. And later on, I think parents are involved at the stage of working with the school district to implement those guidelines. So my question is, at what stage in the process are parents going to be allowed to have input into developing these guidelines?
Through the chair, thank you, Representative Sadler, for that question. My staff, Bessie Odom, will be able to answer it.
Hey, Ms. Odom.
Through the chair, Representative Sadler, parents have the right to be involved with developing these guidelines from the very start. The way that I think of parents is the same way I think of legislators. We, you know, you all are legislators, of course, but you're also parents, you're grandparents, and there's nothing currently within statute that prohibits your right as a parent or a grandparent to be involved in the education of your child, including the development of these guidelines.
She's added responsibilities for us.
Yeah, thank you.
Representative Sadler.
Thank you. Through the chair to Ms. Odom, looking on page 3 of the bill, it talks about developing guidelines. The state board shall consult with the Department of Health, Department of Family and Community Services, private health organizations and national and state mental health organizations. I don't see where parents are included in this statute.
Thank you. Through the chair, Representative Sadler. To kind of reiterate what I previously mentioned is a lot of folks that consider themselves to be parents or grandparents are also tribal members. They may be sitting on the Board of Education, et cetera, et cetera. And so I think if they don't fit into those hats, there's nothing that is going to prohibit them from not being involved.
Okay, Representative Sadler.
Thank you, through the chair, to the sponsor herself. Would you be amenable to an amendment to include parents and parent representatives in this group of people who are authorized to develop these guidelines?
Through the chair, Representative Sadler, I'm fine with that. I really want to see this bill move forward, and I don't think that adding that to this bill is going to cause any issues.
So you would be amenable to that?
Yes, okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. More questions?
No more questions? Any more questions from the committee? So three of us will be on the education committee, and that's where this bill heads next. So I would defer to the four of us, I guess, who will not be on the education committee. What is your preference?
I'm happy to leave it in your hands in education.
Okay. Representative Mina?
Thank you for the question, Chair Prox, and for your consideration for those not on that committee. I think this is a great bill, and I really applaud the work of Senator Gray Jackson in her office for working on this, and I'm happy to see this bill move forward in education and continue to work on this.
Representative Pifanese. Okay, so we will hold this bill. Let's set an amendment deadline for Monday at 5, and then maybe we can hear it again Tuesday, if we're lucky. All right. Any other business before the... Oh, yes, there is. Sorry. So we got a little ahead of our skis at the last meeting. House Bill 366... was passed out of the committee, but we had not scheduled, we didn't even have a hearing request actually, but we had not scheduled public testimony or review at that hearing. So it would be appropriate to rescind our previous action.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Ruffridge.
I move that we rescind action on moving HB 366. That was work order 33-LS1431/A.
Okay, thank you. Do we have any objection? All right, so with that, HB 366 will be brought back, I guess, to the Health and Social Services Committee. And when we get the hearing request and et cetera, we will proceed forward. We have any other business before the committee?
Thank Question. You again, Mr. Chairman, for hearing my bill.
Oh, thank you. I'm sorry. I forgot to let you go. Thank you very much. All right. So with that, the Health and Social Services Committee is adjourned at 6:21. Thank you for taking your time.